chapter number 3, the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3, near the end of the Old Testament, not many more books, small books after this, little book of Habakkuk, just 3 chapters. Felt drawn, it's been one of those weeks when I was unsure about the service this morning for most of the week since the service on Wednesday night. Appreciate your prayers for us on Thursday night. Had a good service. Thank the Lord for helping us there. But began praying about the service this morning. It wasn't until last night. And really, even then, I wasn't sure. I just felt drawn by the Spirit of God to read the book of Habakkuk. Now I began to read, and in all honesty, if we're being honest with each other this morning, there wasn't very much that caught my attention as I began to read. I just felt compelled to read it until I got to the end of chapter 3, and the Lord began to speak to my heart. You know, some very simple thoughts, and I want to try my best by His help. If you'd pray for us this morning to give you what's on my heart, trust that the Lord will touch you and help you in the service this morning. Habakkuk chapter 3, when you found your place, if you're physically able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse number 17, read the last 3 verses of the last chapter of this little book of Habakkuk. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning out of verse number 18, if the Lord would be my helper. On the first part of verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, we got to have some context here about what's taking place. If you study the Scriptures, most agree, best we can understand, that Habakkuk is writing during the reign of a king by the name of Manasseh in Judah. Manasseh is the son of Hezekiah. Most all of us know about Hezekiah. His name is familiar unto us, how the kings of Israel. Hezekiah did that was right in the sight of God. Hezekiah broke down the high places and the altars that were erected to idols and false gods, and Hezekiah sought God and demanded the cleansing of the house of God, and there was revival in the days of Hezekiah among the people of God. Worship was restored. Order was restored in the land. Many wonderful things happened in the days of Hezekiah. The doors of the house of God were opened again. I feel like to make, and I'm not going to, there's probably a lot of spiritual things and prophetical applications that can be made, and I'm not interested really in all that. I just want to preach an application of our day as the Lord stirred my heart and the way He put it on my heart. I think if we're going to apply it to us, we can almost say that the days of Hezekiah would apply maybe to the Philadelphia church age that came before us. When the Lord said, I'll set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For it was in the days of Hezekiah that the doors of the temple were repaired and opened to the people of God. And many wonderful things that had not been seen. There was great worship and joy and rejoicing in the days of Hezekiah, much as it was in the days of the Philadelphia church age. But then Hezekiah died. The days of the rule of Hezekiah came to an end. Much like as we read the letters out of the churches, and I'm trying to get somewhere this morning. This is what's on my heart. And I think if you'll hang with me just a minute, God will encourage you as He has me. But as it is, as it was in the days of Hezekiah, that it came to an end, those of the Philadelphia church age are all but gone in our day. And the Philadelphia church age had to come to a close. And the Laodicean age is upon us. And as Hezekiah died and his son Manasseh reigned in his stead, you can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 21. The Bible said that Manasseh did that was evil in the sight of the Lord. And that he built up all the things that Hezekiah tore down. He built it again, the high places. He planted again the groves. He instituted again Baal worship. And matter of fact, if you read the scripture in 2 Kings 21, he even built altars to the hosts of heaven, which is not meant God, but the stars. And he followed astrology and witchcraft and sorcery. And he built altars to the hosts of heaven inside the house of God. And he made his son to pass through the fire. And he offered children in sacrifice. And the Bible, even now, we have come a long way. If you read the Old Testament from the days of Ahab, and we know about Ahab and his wickedness, that the Bible said he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. But now we've come to Manasseh, and the scripture in 2 Kings 21 has said that he behaved himself like Ahab. A wicked day, a hard day. And the Bible said that he not only did wickedness, but he shed much innocent blood in the land of Israel. And the Bible said that the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. And he, if you read this scripture, he seduced the people of God. It said that they would not hearken unto the voice of the prophet of the Lord, for Manasseh seduced them and persuaded them to follow false ways again. And is that not a picture of the Laodicean age, where nothing's wrong and nothing's right? The Lord wrote the letter to the church of Laodicea, and he said, I would that thou art hot or cold, but because thou art lukewarm, one side of the fence or the other, but you want to straddle the middle. You want to take hold of God and hold of the world at the same time, and it does not work that way. And the Lord said, because of this, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, the Lord said, it makes me sick to my stomach to see my people in the shape they're in. Why, brother? It was dark days. If Habakkuk is writing in that day, it's a dark day among the people of God. And Habakkuk here writes about in verse number 2 of chapter 3, he begins to pray and he asks the Lord to revive his work in the midst of the years. In other words, Habakkuk says, we've turned away, your people have turned aside, we've quit your work, it's all stopped. And he said, will you revive your people again? And in wrath, remember mercy. And the verse before and I know there's probably someone more wise and smarter than I could probably make greater application of the days that are going to come ahead. But here in verse number 16, Habakkuk talks about the day of trouble, that he could have rest in the day of trouble, the days of the coming of the judgment of God in these dark days. And my mind began to be stirred back to what Paul told Timothy about in the last days, that perilous times shall come, and in our day they have come, and we're living in those days of trouble. And Habakkuk writes it like this. He said, though the fig tree shall... Now all these things that he's talking about are literal happenings among the people of God on the land. They are literal physical happenings. But as God, the Holy Ghost, began to work in my heart last night, I believe there's a spiritual application of every one of these happenings in the hearts of the people of God in these days. Hezekiah said, though the fig tree shall not blossom. You know what a blossom is? If you have a fruit tree that buds and blossoms, when you see the blossoms, there's an expectation of a harvest. There's hope that in the days ahead, good things will come. And Hezekiah said, although, if we're going to make an application, I'm just going to preach how the Lord put it on my heart. But Hezekiah, what he's saying to us in our day is, although that expectation of that hope of good things to come, although it may be vague, it may be taken away, it may seem far off to us, even though it doesn't look like any good can ever come, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. We're living in days where the reality is, and I understand we always have hope. We have hope beyond this life. The Bible said we have hope, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which means it does not change with the times. I'm glad this morning to know that despite how bad and bleak it may look, that you and I, as the people of God, we still have hope in this day. But there are days that that hope seems far off. And it can happen to Paul, it can happen to you and me. And Paul said in the storm, when he hadn't seen the sun or moon for many days, he said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul said, I knew it was there, but I couldn't get it in my grasp. And you and I in these dark days, we know the hope's there. We have that anchor of the soul, but sometimes it seems like we can't lay hold on the hope. But even in those days, we can rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice, I may be getting the cart in front of the horse, but that's all. I'm just trying to preach this morning. But the word rejoice has many meanings. And I felt compelled to read it last night. You say, well, you're preaching Old Testament. Well, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And the word always there is not always, there's no S. But it means anew and afresh every day. It's a continual thing. That when we wake up in the morning and the dark clouds are hanging low, we can rejoice in the Lord. And when we wake up the next day and things are bright, we don't rejoice in the things, but we rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice means many things. It means to be glad in spirit. It means to have a cheerful heart. And I'm telling you, in these dark days, the people of God are losing their joy. The word rejoice is tied directly to the word joy. And it's an inward attitude of the heart. It has nothing to do with circumstance. Happiness has to do with circumstance. I'm not here preaching on happiness. I'm preaching on joy and rejoicing. But do you know, and this is where God really struck in my heart, that the word rejoice in the book of Habakkuk means to thrive. The church does not in these last days. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, you hear me well. Right here, the church of the Lord spoke to my heart in my room, sitting in the floor with my Bible last night, and he said, you tell them in the morning, the church in the last days does not have to just survive. We can thrive even in the last days. Nothing's changed about the church. The church is still God's bride. I understand that maybe the people in the church have changed. I understand that the world's ideas of the church have changed. But as far as God's concerned, the church has not changed. Christ said, I'll build my church on me, on the rock of the fact that I'm the Christ. And he said, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know where we got this idea in these last days that the church is in these Laodicean age days we're living in these perilous times, that the church is backed into the corner by the world just trying to survive. That's not the church I'm in. And if you're saved, it's not the one you're in. But the church is on offense. We're going forward. The word prevail means to come against. It's the devil that's on defense. It's the world that's on defense. And the Lord said, the church will march on, and even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so even in the days when the fig tree don't blossom, even in the days when it seems like there is no expectation of good, even in the day, really, if you want to go farther, we can this morning. The blossom meant that there would be a harvest after a while. Sometimes in our day, when we talk about lost folk, it seems like no harvest will ever come. It seems like there's no hope. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's hope in God. And because of Him, we can rejoice. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The word fruit there, talking about grapes. And I'm just going to preach how the Lord put it on my heart. Other writers and commentators may have their opinions, but I only know how to give you what's on my heart. But I thought about immediately the Lord took me about the fruit of the vine to the wedding in Cana, when they had no wine, and the Lord's mother came to him and said, they have no wine. He turned the water into wine, and there was joy and celebration. Almost always in the scriptures of the fruit of the vine, I'm not talking about intoxication or alcohol, but I'm talking about joy and celebration. The fruit of the vine is linked with joy and celebration. It was given as a drink offering to the Lord in times of joy and celebration. But we're living in those days where it seems like there's no joy and celebration among the people of God. You ever get up and look around and think, Lord, there ain't nothing to be happy about. Lord, there ain't nothing to celebrate about. And I'm going to be honest with you right here. Just buckle up for a minute. If you look around in the world, there is nothing to be happy about. There is nothing to celebrate. What's going on in Washington's not worth celebrating. What's going on in our state ain't worth celebrating. What's going on in our own counties and communities ain't worth celebrating. But Hezekiah said, when I can't celebrate in anything else, he said, I'll rejoice in the Lord. If we never get our eyes off of the things of this world and turn our eyes toward the heavenly, when there ain't nothing to celebrate down here, there's something to celebrate in Him. He's worth celebrating. He's enough to stir your heart. He's enough to stir your joy. I'm glad this morning, though the fig tree don't blossom and there ain't no fruit on the vine, yet I can, and I believe I will this morning, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, And I think the next part of the verse is, and the labor of the olive shall fail. Now the olive was in the days I read after a couple of men tried not to let them influence me, but I felt led to read just a little bit. I knew about the olive and about how precious it was to them in that day. And one of them was a southern writer, and he said to give it to our comparison so we could understand, olive oil to the Jews is like butter in the south. You can't make anything without it, and they depended on it. And when the olive failed, there was no olive oil, and there was no joy that went on, and no good thing. But the Lord said, look past all that. It's a good application, but go on. And I began to think, God stirred my heart about them 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins that were outside waiting on the bridegroom. And it said they all slumbered and slept. The 10 wise took oil, and the 10 foolish didn't. And the oil that they took was olive oil. It was used for wine in those days. And that's how the Lord said that in my heart. And he said, son, you're living in dark days. It looks like there ain't no light. But ain't you glad that the same God, that when there was darkness on the face of the deep, that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. I don't know about you, but I feel good in my heart this morning. I want to say, and I know this is going out live, it don't bother me, but I apologize for Wednesday night. I felt like I was in a box and couldn't get out. And it's partially my fault, but I feel good this morning, and I want to preach a while. But I'm telling you, we're in the dark. Dark days have come. Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. And we're in those days. I'm going to tell you, as dark as it may get, honey, I'm glad to know there's joy. I can rejoice in the Lord. I don't want to discourage you, and I don't think I will, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's dark now, but it's going to get darker. The dark clouds of sin and the perilous times are rolling in on the horizon, and they're going to come closer. They're probably going to stand above the head of the church. But can I remind you again that though the gates of hell come against the church, they cannot prevail. I'm glad this morning to know that when there ain't no light, when they get in the days like Eli, when there was no light in the temple, it may get bleak and dim. Even the people of God's light may wax cold. But I'm glad to know in the midst of it all, I can rejoice in the Lord. Though the fig tree don't blossom, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Though there ain't no fruit on the vine, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Though the labor of the olive shall fail, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. And then he said, though the flock be cut off from the fold. Now we better pay close attention here, because if we don't, we'll take that part and the next part to mean one thing, but it's not. There ain't but one type of animal ever in the scriptures that's ever referred to by flock and fold, and that's the sheep. So that means me and you, if we're going to apply it to our day. And the fold was the place where the sheep rested. It's a type of the house of God. And he said, the flock be cut off from the fold. It don't mean we lose our salvation, but should the day come, and it may come, and for many it has come, that they can't assemble together in the house of God because of disease, because of distress, whatever it may be. Sheep are fearful creatures, and they'll fear and run from the fold. And we're living in the days where many people are afraid they'll let anything, and I'm not preaching that to you, I'm just preaching to what's right. They'll let anything scare them away from the house of God. But we'll go beyond that. There may come a day, and I've already preached this, but I want to again. There may come a day we pull in the parking lot, and the doors are boarded up, and there's a cease and desist order on the outside of the door, and says you can't come in. But I'm glad in that day, in the building or outside, on the porch or in a living room somewhere, in a barn or in a hayloft, I can rejoice in the Lord.
Amen. Yes,
the building. I thank God for what He's given us here. I'm not taking anything away from it. When I drive by, and it may not be so for you, and I ain't judging you. That's between you and God. But when I drive by, me and Brother Jacob went to Lowe's together yesterday, and we drove, he was a driver and I was a riding, and we drove by the church, and I looked over, and my heart skipped a beat, and it still does when I drive by. It ain't about the building, it's about who's here and what's represented. And really, in all honesty, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but it really ain't all about you. It's really about Him. But I'm glad without a building, He's still God, and I can still rejoice in Him. And He said, though the flocks will be cut off from the fold, and He said, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Why is there no herd in the stalls? Well, it's because I skipped a part in this verse, but it's all right. The Lord knew what we need to do. He said, the olive shall fail and the fields shall yield no meat. That ain't talking about the animals. That's talking about the grass or the pasture land. And you know, we live in the South. We know about drought. And when the rain stops, the fields dry up. And I'm telling you, in these days, we're living in dry times. And we're in a drought. And it's not just a drought, but when there ain't no grass, the animals die. And it ain't just the sheep. It's those that give sustenance. And so when He talks about no herd in the stalls, He's talking about a famine being in the land. And we're in days of dryness, and we're in days of famine. And I'm telling you, Amos said it would come, that there'd be a day that the Lord would send a famine, not a thirst of water or hunger for bread, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. But I'm glad in these days, when it seems like nobody's interested and people don't want to hear, I can still rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk said, all these things look bad. And if all we focus on is them, they are bad. If all we focus on is our expectation of good being gone, it's going to be bad. If all we focus on is nothing to celebrate, it'll be bad. If all we focus on is how dark it is, it'll be bad. If all we focus on is how dry it is, it'll be bad. If all we focus on is how few of the flock are in the fold, it'll be awful bad. If we focus on the famine that we're in these days, it'll be bad. But ain't it amazing, after all of that, in the midst of ungodly, wicked days, Habakkuk says, yet, despite all of that, aside from all that, I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, you say, preacher, this is all you preach on. It's what the Lord give me. And I feel like in these days, I don't know the mind of God, but He stirred in my heart more than once that the church is in great need of encouragement and exhortation in these days. And I'm trying my best by the help of God to get your eyes off all the stuff. If that's all you're going to focus on, you're going to be in a bad shape with no hope, no joy, no victory. To no peace. But I'm telling you this morning, if you can get your eyes off all of that and get them to get on Him, you can rejoice.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
Notice what Habakkuk didn't say, and I'm done this morning, far as I know. I want you to notice what Habakkuk didn't say. He didn't say, I'll rejoice when God puts blossoms on the fig tree. He didn't say, I'll rejoice when God puts grapes on the vines. He didn't say, I'll rejoice when the olive trees bow over for all the olives that's on them. He didn't say, I'll rejoice when the grass is head high. He didn't say, I'll rejoice when there's more in the fold than it could hold. He didn't say, I'll rejoice when we have to add on to the barns to put the herd in the stall. He said, in spite of all this, whether it gets any better or not, He said, I will rejoice in the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
The church is being taught in these days. I'm not no prophet. I'm not trying to say God's given me some special revelation. I'm not trying to be arrogant and tell you I know it all. But I know by the pressure and the push of the Holy Ghost that the church is being trained in this day to rejoice not in circumstance, to rejoice not in happiness, to rejoice not in good times, but to rejoice in the Lord. I'm telling you this morning, if you rejoice in Him, you can rejoice any time. Habakkuk said it may not be the spring season when the warm breezes blow, and it may not be the summertime when the sun's hot and feels good, but I'm going to tell you this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart and He said rejoicing in the Lord is not seasonal. It can happen all the time. When the winter's out and the snows are blowing, we can rejoice in the Lord. When the fall time comes and the beauty fades and the leaves fall, we can rejoice in the Lord. When the sun's shining, we can. When the rains are falling, we can. When the tornadoes of life have took us over, I'm glad still yet on the inside of the people of God can rejoice in the Lord. We're in bad days. And so was Habakkuk. Well, in Habakkuk's day, and I'm not going to. I know there's a whole lot in these days that are taking what's going on in our day and they're applying them and misapplying them to what happened in days gone by and in the Word of God. But I will say this. We ought to be able to identify with Habakkuk's day when they sacrifice innocent children like our government's doing and many other things are going on out of worship when they turn from the one true God, and it's happening in our day. But Habakkuk says, Lord, I want a revival. If you read chapter 3, he prays and he's not doubting God, but I want to give you this and I'm done. As far as I know, he said, Lord, I want a revival. Lord, I want you to remember mercy and wrath. Lord, in verse 16, he said, I want to rest in the day of trouble. But I'm going to tell you what Habakkuk said in the last three verses. He said, if revival don't come, if there's no rest to be found, if things don't get better, if there's no mercy and wrath, if the judgment of God falls, he said, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I believe in these days it's right for the people of God to pray for revival. I believe it's right for us to pray for mercy in the midst of wrath. I believe it's right to pray for rest in the time of trouble. But I want to encourage you this morning, if the revival don't come, not that God can't, He might just not. And if the revival don't come, if there's no rest for us, if there's no mercy mingled with His wrath, I want to say for us this morning, we can rejoice in the Lord. But we're going to have to get our eyes off all the things that ain't going right and get our eyes on the one who's always right. There's a lot of things ain't going right in this day, but I'm going to tell you, yonder seated on the throne of glory is still God, the supreme being, the sovereign of all the universe, that has all power in heaven and earth, and He's still in control and He's still in charge. He's not weak in one bit, and He ain't lost no power, and He's still doing right. He's got everything in control. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows tomorrow today, and He knew the next day yesterday. He said, I am. I'm He that was and is, and He is forevermore. I'm glad this morning we can rejoice in Him. And so I want to know about you this morning. I'm not here this morning preaching that you're a bad person or that you've done wrong. But I want to know what you're looking at. I want to know what you're basing your rejoicing on. When you get up in the morning and you feel like you're on the bottom and there's nothing to celebrate? Is it because all you see is no blossoms on the fig tree and no fruit on the vine and no olives on the trees or cattle in the stalls? Or is it that you get up in the morning and though there still ain't no blossoms on the fig tree, I'm not here preaching everything's going to get better overnight. It probably ain't. I'm preaching that we can rejoice in spite. Hezekiah said, yet I will rejoice. Even though all this is the case, I'll still joy in God.
Amen.
How about you this morning as we stand all over the house? If God stirred your heart or spoke to you in some way this morning about what you're rejoicing in, about what you're seeing, it is the way of the flesh. It is the way of man, the natural way, and to look at all our situation, and to look at all our circumstances, and to get caught up in the day, as Habakkuk said, in the day of trouble. But I'm here to tell you this morning, get your eyes off all of that and turn your eyes on Him and rejoice again. How long's it been since you woke up in the morning hour and your soul just rejoiced in the Lord? Despite all the things that were going on around you, despite that folks were in the hospitals, despite that there was sickness, despite the bills may have been coming due, despite the darkness of our day, when's the last time you just really rejoiced in the Lord? You can this morning. Despite all that. Not when all that gets fixed. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but all that probably ain't going to get fixed. It's just probably going to get worse and worse. Today there may be no blossoms on the fig tree. Tomorrow the fig tree may be cut down. But that's okay. God's still God.
Right.
We can rejoice in Him. As the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, I don't know what you need to do. The altar's open if you need to come talk to Him and ask for help to get your eyes off of all the things that's going on and all the bad and all the trouble and all the wrong and all the things that ain't adding up. And oh Lord, would you turn our eyes again on You? Though all this stuff may not get fixed, I'm glad it is fixed because He's God.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I will rejoice in the Lord. Do you need to come this morning? One, anywhere before we pray, do you need to come? It's between you and God. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, this morning for this good privilege to have been able to be in Your house today. I thank You, Lord, for each one that's come this way. Oh, what a great blessing, Lord, it's been to have been able to be in Your house today with Your people. Now, I know, Lord, that I'm so unworthy and undeserving for You to pass by this way. And we all are. But Lord, as was mentioned this morning before the Sunday school hour ever started, I just want to thank You for passing by. Lord, one of them things that if we're not careful, we'll get accustomed to and overlook. Lord, just You taking notice of who we are and passing by. Thank You, Lord, this morning for Your goodness. Thank You for Your glory down in my soul. Thank You, Lord, for the hope that we have to rejoice in You. I pray You bless the remainder of the day. Bless each one that's here. Bless those who are not able to be here today. And Lord, would You help us all as Your people, Lord, to get our eyes on You again and to rejoice in the Lord. Thank You for all You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray.